I asked some of our children, in fact, what they said was so, what they thought was so special about Christmas. How many people would like to know what the kids said? Okay, well, in that case, let's watch this. So if you're not sure what to do, just wave. I think if you're not sure the answer to the difficult question, and like many of our kids, I don't know if you are, I was impressed. Most of them, the answer was Jesus. When they came up with an answer, it's almost like you ask any kid in our church, particularly other churches, what the answer to a question is, and if they're in this building and they associate it with church, then often the answer is Jesus. So or they think that's the right answer as well. I could tell you a story about a Sunday school, and the kids were all sat listening to the teacher, and the Sunday school teacher wanted to ask a question, and she said, okay, kids, we're going to play a quiz, and I want you to tell me the answer to this question. And the children were all sat very politely, and she said, okay, I want you to tell me what I'm describing here. It's furry, and it's grey. And the children looked a little blank for a minute, and they couldn't come up with an answer, so she gave them some more help, and she said, it's furry, and it's grey, and it's got a big bushy tail. And the children still looked blank, and couldn't understand quite what the Sunday school teacher was asking them. And then she said, okay, I'll give you one more clue. It's grey, it's furry, it's got a bushy tail, and it climbs trees and has and likes to eat nuts. And the children still, none of them were bold enough to come up with an answer. And then in the end, one of them said, Miss, I know the answer's Jesus, but it sounds awfully like a squirrel. And when I was asking the kids that question, I could see that they only really wanted to give me one answer, which is because I'm sure they're all very well trained. So what's so special about Christmas? Why is an event that took place 2,000 years ago still celebrated and recognised today? Well, in order to answer that question, of course, we have to go back to the original script, which Dom read so well for us at the start. And he read from Luke's account. And in that account, we see, first of all, one angel coming, and then shortly after, a whole company, a whole crowd of angels. I don't know about you. I was thinking about this week. Has many of us ever encountered an angel recently or ever? No, me neither. But it occurred to me, although I'm very familiar with this story, that if someone was retelling me this story and they came to the part and they said, well, actually, and then an angel appeared, I'd be like, oh, right, that's interesting. What did the angel say? Come on, tell me what the angel said. And, of course, those of us who've been around a while are familiar with some of these stories. But actually, I want to talk this morning about the two things that the angel said. In answer to this question, what's so special about Christmas? The first thing is this. Christmas is a time of great celebration. You remember the words of the first angel was this, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you, he is Christ the Lord. That phrase, good news of great joy, Whatever else Christmas is about a great celebration. And then secondly, after the first angel had gone back and got some friends, I guess angels have friends, they announced these words, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." Peace on earth. And the second thing I just want to talk about for a few moments this morning is that Christmas is a time for reconciliation. So, Christmas is a time for great celebration. I wonder if I asked you to think about celebrations that you've had in your lifetime, what would be the biggest celebration? Husbands and wives, perhaps you might consider carefully the answer to that question if there's some important things on your list. On Friday evening, when Mark Palmer was here, he was drawing our attention to those of us in the room who were engaged. And actually, the next couple of years in Ashwood Church, there's going to be some great times of celebration. We have not just one, not two, but there are three weddings that are coming up in Ashwood Church. Is there anyone here this morning who's going to be encountering some of the? Oh, in fact, there's four. There's four actually. Can you just add into the PowerPoint? There's another. Because actually, yeah, there's going to be four weddings. So great time of celebration. Some of these people aren't with us this morning. But if you're getting married in the next two or three years, why don't you just stand up and we'll just recognize those people this morning. On the back row, look, there we go. Chris and Corin and Tom and Lily. I think those days will be great celebrations. Is that what you're planning? Yes, they're all nodding, apart from Chris, who's just chatting to the person sat next to him. And so Christmas is a great time of celebration. Why? Well, the first part of this incredible reality is that God himself stepped out of heaven into our world, or you could say into his world. And this wonderful, amazing reality that God came to be amongst us, to live amongst us, and it was like God with skin on. Jesus Christ was a real man, real flesh and blood. He was a real person, not a myth, not a fable, not just a nice story. The Bible says this of Jesus: of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took on the nature of a servant. He became a human being and appeared in human likeness. And the reason that, one of the main reasons that we celebrate Christmas, of course, is that God became flesh. That's what the Bible says. God became man and lived among us. I'm not sure if you were God, whether you'd have gone this route or not, but just imagine for a moment the fact that God himself confined himself to a human body. Even if you have heard this many, many times, just pause for a moment and take in the wonder of what that means, that God himself would take on human form. I read this: when man landed on the moon, that was big news. It was almost as if the whole world stopped to watch Neil Armstrong's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. But that is nothing compared to the news that God landed on the earth. Jesus Christ was and is God, and his birth is when God came to earth. You know, we may have a hard time relating to a vague being somewhere in the sky, but Jesus was God in the flesh, or you could say God with skin on. Fully God and yet fully man. Scientifically, it doesn't quite add up, does it? Fully God and yet fully man. Max Lucado says this: Jesus was, while completely divine, completely human. For 33 years, he would feel everything that you and I have ever felt. He felt weak. He grew weary. He was afraid of failure. He was susceptible to wooing women. He got colds, he burped, he had body odour, his feelings got hurt, his feet got tired, and his head ached. To think of Jesus in such a light is, well, it almost seems irreverent, doesn't it? It's not something we like to do. It's uncomfortable. It's much easier to keep the humanity out of the incarnation. Clear the manure from around the manger, wipe the sweat out of his eyes, pretend he never snored or blew his nose or hit his thumb with a hammer. He's easier to stomach that way. There's something about keeping him divine that keeps him distant, packaged, predictable. But Max Lucado says, don't do it. Let him be as human as he intended to be. Let him into the mire and muck of our world. For only if we let him in can he pull us out. People think often that God is some distant being, far off. But Christmas tells us something very different. It's a story of God coming to live amongst us. Fully God and fully man. So, and of course that's great. But why is it such good news? The answer's in the second part of the passage. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. The reason that Jesus came was as a saviour, or we could say deliverer or rescuer. So God came in human form as a rescuer. But to rescue from what? Well, if I asked you this morning what you needed to be rescued from this Christmas, what would be your answer?
Work.
Work, okay. It's good. Obviously on your mind. It's a good opportunity to get things off your chest. Interactive. Anybody else? I guess there's a number of things that we could be rescued from. Is there anyone who might be overeating this Christmas? Perhaps not. Anyone need rescuing from annoying relatives? I'm sure that's not the case. I did see a hand over there, but it was a blur and I can't. Sorry? There was a story from the back, okay, we won't go into that. Or perhaps more seriously, things that we might need rescuing from this Christmas. Maybe there's fear, maybe there's insecurity, maybe there are habits in our lives that we would love to be set free from. Maybe it's hurts, maybe it's anxiety. And Jesus coming to earth makes it possible for all of these to be dealt with. But the first thing that Jesus does is rescues each one of us, all humanity, from a massive spiritual debt. We're all aware that financial debt in our culture is a huge problem. Apparently, household debt has more than doubled in the last decade. Now stands at over £1.43 trillion. I don't know how many noughts that is, but let's just say it's a lot of money. And if you just imagine for a moment, if someone came to our nation who was extremely generous and with unlimited credit and said, I want to wipe out all the debts of every single household in the UK. Just imagine that. Everything you owe, mortgages, loans, credit cards, wiped out and paid for. How would you feel? How would we feel? I imagine that there'll be quite a few happy people. Perhaps if that was the case, we'd have a national day of celebration. Well, in one sense, that's exactly what the angels were announcing. It's like the angels shouting, people, good news, a rescuer has come. It's time for the cancellation of debt. Not financial debt, but the spiritual debt that we owe. Because of our innate, our default position is, as human beings, is selfishness. Things we do wrong and the things we omit to do that are right. Whether aware of it or not, our conscience often tells us that we are accumulating an unpayable spiritual debt. And the thing is, the bad news is we can't even help one another because we're all in the same condition. But what we need is someone with unlimited spiritual credit. And the great reason of celebration for Christmas is that Jesus came not only to live but to die on a cross to take upon himself our spiritual debt, or you could say our sin, so that our spiritual debt could be wiped clear and we could receive his limitless credit. It's an amazing gift. Do you agree? And as well as wiping out our spiritual debt, he comes to give us a sense of purpose and hope for the future. That's very good news and reason for celebration. I don't know about you, but this Christmas, I'm grateful that my spiritual debt has been wiped clean and I'm connected to the God with unlimited credit. What a wonderful gift. So the angel was saying, good news. It's a day of salvation. The rescue has come. Time for great celebration. Secondly, Christmas is a great time for reconciliation. The angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. As I grow a little older, peace seems to have a bit more meaning. When I was younger, hanging around Christmas time, people would talk about peace, and as a child, peace tends to be perhaps connected to people asking us to turn the volume down. Or I can't really remember what my concept was. Perhaps it was the thing that, and I've never watched it, so I don't know how I remember this, but Miss World always talks about the answer to her final question, doesn't she, or the contestants, what would you like to see in the world? The answer is always world peace, apparently, for those who watch that competition. Is that right? Is that right, Carl? Yeah. But the older I get, and I guess the more times I've watched the news and aware of the way that our world operates, realize that the gift of peace and reconciliation is so significant. Reconciliation and peace happen when broken relationships are restored, or you could say when peace is established between warring parties. This centenary year, we're remembering the start of World War I and remembering those men and women who gave their lives so that there might be peace afterwards. And of course, we've prayed this morning and the kids have helped us. And we remember those parts of the world that this Christmas and beyond don't live in peace. But of course, peace isn't just about the absence of war. Essentially, the problem of peace is, the heart of the problem is the human heart. And what the angels were declaring was, it was speaking to governments and world superpowers and political systems, but the concept of peace is not just the absence of war, it's more positive than that. It actually means wholeness. It actually means harmony. So as we pray for peace this Christmas around the world, which we do, the message of Christmas is not just global peace, but peace for each one of us. And I don't know about you, but this morning, if there is something that is available to each one of us in terms of peace, how many people would say, I'd like some of that? There's three parts of peace that I just want to think about for a moment. The first is this, is inner peace. Some of you may have heard this little ditty about inner peace. If you can start the day without caffeine, if you can always be cheerful, ignoring aches and pains, if you can resist complaining and boring people with your troubles, if you can eat the same food every day and be grateful for it, if you can understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time, if you can take criticism and blame without resentment, if you can conquer tension without medical help, if you can relax without alcohol, if you can sleep without the aid of drugs, then you are probably the family dog. Good photo. But the good news is that you and I don't need to be the family dog to have inner peace. The Apostle Paul said this in his writing to the Philippians in chapter 4. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And I guess many of us could try and describe what it means to have this inner peace, which can only come through Jesus Christ. Those of us who find ourselves in difficult circumstances where under normal circumstances there's no way we could feel peace, and yet through Jesus it's possible for us to feel that. I guess many of us have stories, and as a family in the last 12 months there's times when through our family situation, it's true to say that we have known a sense of God's peace when the circumstances would be other than that. I remember a friend of mine. Some of you will know him, will have known him. He was a colleague of mine at work, and he came to faith and found faith in Jesus. And he was diagnosed with a terminal cancer of the brain. And he had a number of operations. And those of you around, I can't remember whether it's 5 or 6 years ago, will know him, a guy called Lee Wilkinson. And he described through a series of circumstances, he was faced with this terminal illness. And he came, and he'd often come and chat to me at lunchtime, because I remember him one day telling me how he sat with his five-year-old boy on his knee just contemplating the future. And he said he was thinking about the realities of his situation, and yet it was like he described it as waves that kind of washed over him. He had no church background. He didn't know the language of church at all, and some of you will have met him. But he said to me, "Matt, what is it that I'm feeling? It doesn't make sense. I can't understand it. But somehow there is a real assurance, and somehow I know that everything is all right." And I was able to say to him, "Well, it sounds like what you're describing is something called the peace that passes understanding." And if this Christmas you'd like to know that peace, then I just want to say this morning that that peace is available to you too. So the first thing is inner peace. The second is peace with others. Once you know a sense of inner peace, it becomes possible to have peace with others. Christmas is supposed to be a time for spending with family, isn't it? But often tensions that are below the surface can come to the fore. And perhaps there are people live with hurt and pain. We know it's true. Perhaps there are people in our families this Christmas. Perhaps there are people at our work who we just know that we would love to have that sense of peace with them. And if you're like me, you'd say, well, hang on, that's impossible. You don't know my situation. You don't know my circumstances. And I'm sure you're right, because these things are not straightforward and not easy. But I want to say today that I have to believe that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, at the center of our lives, can make it possible for us to live peace in peace with others. And then finally, peace with God, or you could say reconciliation with God. Through this debt that Jesus has paid, made it possible for all mankind to once again be connected to the Creator the way that God had always intended. With our spiritual debt taken care of, the huge chasm between humanity and God was dealt with. On the cross, we are now, those of us who've decided to follow Jesus, are reconciled with God and have peace with Him. And many of us have experienced what it means to have that peace with God, that knowledge, that assurance that our future is secure with Him, not just here on earth, but for all of eternity. What a wonderful truth. But the great news is that if we make Jesus the center of our lives, then He works within us to transform us. Many of us have decided to do that. And I just wonder, just as I finish this morning, whether we just pause for a moment and just allow ourselves the opportunity to say, where are we at this Christmas with Jesus? Is He at the center of our lives? You see, if this is true, then actually it demands a response. We can choose to ignore, or we can choose to embrace the truth and the reality that Jesus is not just the end of that passage, Jesus Christ is Lord, is not just a true statement for our world, but it can be a true statement for us personally, individually. Many of us have stories of what difference it makes when Jesus is at the center of our lives. And just before we wrap up, just going to show you a short clip of someone else who has a story of what it means to have Jesus at the center of his life.
We have a special reading from Bear Grylls, adventurer, author, TV presenter, and a whole lot else. But here tonight as a great friend who we love very much. Would you give a warm welcome to Bear Grylls?
I almost managed to convince my three children that I was going to sing a solo. And Charlie, if you thought Mrs. Fletcher's face was a picture, you should have seen them. So I'm not, I'm just going to read something. It's something short, it's something I wrote to try and articulate what my faith means to me. It most certainly isn't brilliant, but it's honest and it's my best. But faith is a crutch, I hear people say. So does that make me weak? Well, what does a crutch do? It helps you stand, and it makes you stronger. In that case, here is my confession. I need a crutch, especially when this crutch is so much more, when it is also my backbone, helping me stand tall when I face overwhelming odds. It's a trust that
somehow through it all, we're loved, regardless of our mess, and regardless of how many times we fall down. His promise is that he will pick us up. Mrs. Fletcher. And so often, I need that. Jesus said it simply in words that have always touched me, and he said this: come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. These words are like honey to me on that dark mountainside, the mountains that we all sometimes face. And I'm no longer too proud to admit that I need my Saviour beside me, within me, around me, to win me.
Tonight we have a special reading from Bear Grylls, adventurer, author.
It's very similar to the first one. I just thought that was a great little story. Many of you will have seen Bear Grylls, the adventurer, but just describing his connection with his Saviour, Lord Jesus. I don't know if you saw some of the pictures a few weeks ago. Who saw any pictures on the TV about Black Friday, what they call Black Friday? I wasn't quite sure whether it was something that was smile-worthy or cringe-worthy, as men and women clambered, pushed, shoved, knocked one another over to get their hands on stuff. And I guess there's a lot of desperate people around, desperate for different kinds of things. But it kind of hit me that actually the greatest gift, you know, if I knew truly that the greatest gift was available, that my debts could be cancelled, then I probably would join in the rugby scrum to get it. And I think I can wait for the 85-inch plasma, whatever it is. But I don't know if you're like me this morning, I can't wait to get hold of the great news of Jesus Christ. God with us. God with skin on today. And this morning, of course, we can't promise one another a white Christmas or that all our dreams will come true. The song that says Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, that's not even true for some of us. But what we can say is the good news of Christmas, that whatever our circumstances, that we can know God's peace and God's joy through the person of Jesus Christ. And I wonder if, just as we close our meeting this morning, we just bow our heads, close our eyes, and just contemplate this morning where each one of us will put Jesus this Christmas. Those of you who know me, I'm not into putting any pressure on people, but also I don't want people to miss the opportunity of putting Jesus at the center of our lives. And so this morning, we won't spend a long time, but I just want to pause for a moment. And if you recognize that, not just at Christmas, but as you look back on your life or look forward to the future, you say, well, this inner peace thing, I don't have any of that. This peace with others, that's not part of my experience. And certainly not peace with God, the Maker, my Creator. I'm just going to leave a moment of pause, and then I'm going to pray. Then we'll sing our final song of celebration, of worship. Let's just consider for a moment where we are at this Christmas, where Jesus is in our lives. You know, there's a number of people in this room this morning. I just believe that God is, it's almost like there's a picture of God is knocking on our door and saying, will you let me in? Will you allow me to be at the center of your life? Not because it's Christmas, but because I want to bring you eternal joy, a life filled with purpose, a life filled with the assurance, the confidence in who you are and who you are made to be. And if God's knocking on your door this morning, I just encourage you to open the door and let him in. To put him at the center of your life. To begin a journey with Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Let's pray. You may think evil is winning, but Jesus is Lord. You may think you can't go on because circumstances are piled up against you, but Jesus is Lord. You may think problems are too big for anyone to handle, but Jesus is Lord. When you're discouraged, say, Jesus is Lord. When you're tired, when you're worried, when you're afraid, when you're lonely, say, Jesus is Lord. Say it when you're grieving. Say it when you don't think you can go another mile. Say it this Christmas and make it the theme of your life. Jesus is Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you that in Jesus you came to be our rescuer here on earth. And in Jesus, help us to know that peace and the joy that goes far beyond anything that this world can offer us. Help us this Christmas time to put you at the center for each one of us. Amen.